chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. I'm excited to have Dwight Scott on the show today. Dwight is the Dana Brown President and CEO at the St. Louis Zoo. Well, Dwight Scott, welcome to the Something Extra Podcast. I'm so excited that we were able to make this happen today. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
I'm excited as well. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, I feel very blessed and fortunate because I met you just a few months ago. You and I were at a Greater St. Louis. We're one of the founding members of the Greater St. Louis here in St. Louis. And you were a speaker and I went up to you. I'm sitting there thinking, I've got to ask Dwight if he'll come onto the podcast. And you were so gracious and said, absolutely, you know, I would love to. So grateful that we met, grateful that you're here in St. Louis. This is going to be a ton of fun. You know, you're a unique guest of the Something Extra podcast, Dwight. You're very unique.
I was going to say, tell me more.
I've never had a CEO of a zoo on before.
Oh, so, sure. Yeah. Well, so hopefully I won't disappoint, but,
I know you're not going to disappoint. It's just going to be a ton of fun. We've got a lot to talk about. But before we dig in too much, I really want to go back to how you grew up. And I know that you grew up here, right here in Missouri, Chillicothe, Missouri.
Yeah. Chillicothe. That's my home.
Small town, northern Missouri. I think maybe a little under 10,000 people. And I've never been to Chillicothe, but I did do a little bit of research. And I know you guys are known as the home of sliced bread.
Yeah, that was after my time, Lisa. I didn't know about all that when I was growing up there, to be honest with you. But small town in Missouri. And that's so interesting from your other podcast. I know there's a connection with some of your leaders coming from small towns. So yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
A lot of leaders. That would be an interesting study in and of itself. A lot of leaders have come from small towns. But, you know, it was funny because just for our listeners, yeah, they're known as the home of sliced bread. The sliced bread, I was doing research on this. The sliced bread machine was invented and put to use in the Chillicothe Baking Company. That baker kind of took a chance. And I guess it was developed or invented in 1928, but he took a chance on, and it was very expensive at the time, but took a chance because he was very close to bankruptcy. And look at that, how it has changed the world. I mean, who doesn't use sliced bread now, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting?
Yeah, isn't that great? Yeah, it's all over town too. When I, you know, go back to, you know, visit family and friends, it's everywhere, painted on the sides of buildings and everything. So yeah, you're right. Very popular for that.
It's sure. something to be proud of. And I grew up in a small town, Paducah, Kentucky. And same thing, Dwight. You go down to the riverfront and there's beautiful murals and artwork and, you know, the boats that would come through there. And we're, you know, Paducah's known as the Quilt Museum, the World Quilt Museum.
Yeah, 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 that's right. Yeah.
And I did get a chance a couple years ago. I'd never been before, but I got a chance to take my mother-in-law, and it's pretty special. But I love those things about small towns, and they're proud of it, right? So
yeah, yeah. No, I have a quilt from a grandma, and so I appreciate the you know, the stories that go along with the quilts. There's
absolutely
there's meanings. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely artistry. So let me ask you this. What was your experience with animals as a little boy? Did you love animals growing up?
Yeah, I did. I loved animals. I loved being outside in nature. I never at the time thought about doing anything, you know, connected to animals, though. But I spent a lot of time outside growing up. I floated the river there that's by Chillicothe where I grew up. I floated the rivers in southern Missouri a lot. We love that part of the state. It's so beautiful. And I spent a lot of time in state parks. That was something that we would do on the weekend, and we'd camp. And I just love being outdoors for sure. And we had a lot of different pets growing up, and I really enjoyed time with those animals.
Mm-hmm. The pets that you had, was it the traditional dogs and cats, or did you have anything unique like iguanas or anything more unique?
You know, dogs and cats, but it's kind of funny. Just as we're talking, I had a bit of a flashback. I did create a pool, if you will, at the edge of our garden where I put a catfish in that I had caught. Oh. And it didn't really go too well, as you can imagine, but I was really, really small. And yeah. But yeah, aww. I've always loved animals, though, but I never thought I would end up working with animals, for sure. So I feel very fortunate to be able to do something that I really enjoy. And, you know, for me, it has a lot of meaning.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you went on then to get a degree in anthropology from University of Missouri, KC. And while you were in college, you started watching the Discovery Channel and especially the animal shows, right? And got very interested. I want you to tell us about Professor Longhofer. And what did Professor Longhofer help you do, Dwight?
Yeah, that's so funny. You've done your homework. yeah, the Discovery Channel then showed animal shows. Now it's a lot of reality TV, but I loved watching all the animal shows. And Dr. Longhofer was a professor. He taught some anthropology courses and was just so brilliant and kind and supportive. And one day I went in and I said, "Hey, do we have a relationship with the Kansas City Zoo?" He said, "No." And I said, "Well, I would love to do some type of a research project or volunteer or just do something with the zoo." And he said, "If you can create a relationship, we will work together so that you can get some kind of an independent, you know, study credit. You can write a research paper on what you've done, or, you know, we'll figure something out." And so I remember calling the zoo so many times, Lisa, and finally someone called me back. She was a curator there at the zoo, and she said, "Come on out." And she met with me, and she gave me a chance. And so, yeah, within months, I was then volunteering with the chimpanzees and the orangutans. And there was a baby chimpanzee born. And I ended up doing like basic data collection, like an ethogram to make sure that he was doing well. How frequently was he nursing? Was he strong? Did he have a strong grip? Was he hanging well onto mom? So, yeah, that's my UMKC transition to the Kansas City Zoo.
Yeah, well, there's a lesson there, several lessons, Dwight. One of them is don't give up. Keep calling.
Yeah.
Somebody will call you back, right? And then the other thing is just raising your hand and say, "Hey, I think I would be interested in this." And I always say people can't read your mind. So tell people what it is that you're aspiring to do, because there are people that are willing to help if they know, right? So there's a couple really good lessons there.
Well, and you know, he was a professor of mine, so, but I would say there's a story there of mentorship and doing what you can do to help people along with their interest. And, you know, you never know how things are going to evolve. And I reached out to him multiple times in my career just to touch base, to let him know how I was doing. And, you know, it probably doesn't mean a whole lot to others, but it mattered to me. Mm-hmm. And so,
well,
he
and
passed
it mattered
away
to
just
him.
A couple, to him, it definitely mattered. He passed away a couple years ago. And so,
he had
it
to
means
be
a
so
lot
proud.
To, well, it means a lot to me that you asked and, you know, anyway, thank you.
He had to have been so proud though, Dwight, you know, that, wow, just that intentionality on his part in helping you. And, you know, we'll talk about that, but you've gone on to be, you know, a multi-time CEO of a zoo, but you took, upon graduation, you took a job in the Ape House at the KC Zoo. And, but then you had the opportunity, which is really fun. I want to spend a little bit of time on this. You were, had the opportunity to move to help with the Animal Kingdom and for Disney. And, you know, I would love to hear some of the stories that you've learned there. The Disney Leadership Institute is incredible. And our children, two of our kids in college, or while they were in high school, had the privilege, were blessed to be invited to participate in the Leadership Institute. And it was so incredible. And so I know that, I'm sure there were many lessons that you have taken back with you, you know, through your career. But, you know, what are some of those lessons that you learned when you were at Disney?
Wow, that's a great question. So many things. One, I was a part of what's called the opening team, which, you know, there's not too many opportunities that you create a theme park and open it from scratch. So I went there in 1997, and we opened Animal Kingdom Earth Day in April in 98. And I was there as an animal keeper for 2 years, and I became a manager there. And one reason why I was so excited to become a leader on the Disney team is exactly what you were describing, Lisa, because they have resources for training for everyone in the organization. Mm-hmm. But you're opened up to so much more if you're in a leadership role. And so I took a lot of those classes. And I mean, so you asked me about lessons. Well, that was the first time I was that I know of anyway, exposed to seven habits of highly effective people. And so I still think a lot about seek first to understand before you try to be understood, especially if you're in a tense conversation or situation. Just listening helps so much. And so what other lessons did I learn? Wow, a powerful lesson on collaboration. And let me give you a little bit of background on that. So when I was at the Kansas City Zoo, I worked with gorillas and other animals. But when I went to Disney's Animal Kingdom as a kind of a founding member of the team, I worked with other brand new individuals to that facility. So there was very little tradition. And so I worked with team members who came from the Miami Zoo, who came from Brookfield Zoo in Chicago, San Diego Zoo, all across the country. And we all had a slightly different way of doing things, yet we each were successful. And so I had a lesson on my way isn't the only way. and there's a lot of other effective ways to do things. Mm-hmm. And so we had a lot of communication, a lot of team meetings. We weren't afraid to disagree, but we always, you know, kept focused on what was best for the organization. And I was in animal care at that time, direct animal care. So we always were focused on what was best for the animals as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. You know, here's what you really had talked about, that collaboration, learning Covey's way, right? Seek first to understand. I love all that. Here's what several of your former colleagues have said about you, Dwight. Oh no, don't be scared. It's all good. Dwight has incredible personnel skills. Dwight possesses a positive management style, tremendous personal skills. You know, I think you probably carried that philosophy, not just about caring for the animals, but probably investing in the people and training. Always. I know that that's been really important to you, is investing in your people.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Obviously in my role today, but you know, even before I was in a leadership role, or let me back up. Before I had a leadership title, I worked with many different team members, and I always valued each one of them for their opinions and what they brought to the table, if you will, their conversation. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's important. You know, people can be leaders before they have titles. And just like within the St. Louis Zoo, we have many, many wonderful peoples, and we have way more leaders than we have leadership titles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I subscribe to that philosophy as well. It's like you don't have to have a title to be a leader, right?
Yeah, exactly. We
can,
exactly.
Everybody can be a leader.
Yeah,
so,
but I don't know who you spoke. I don't know who you reached out to or whatever. Lisa, that's pretty cool. But I mean, I had wonderful mentors along the way. I mean, yes. I'll just be honest with you. They set the stage for being a compassionate leader. You know, sometimes people fall into being a tough leader and a bottom line focused leader, but I think you can get great results and care about people. And to be honest, at the end of the day, the more that you care about your teams and support them, the better the organization is going to do anyway.
It's and so true.
Yeah, but no, I worked with wonderful people all along the way. So yeah, I'm a little scared though. You talk to people, but at least they said some good things.
Oh my goodness. No, I mean, we have always subscribed to that philosophy at Technology Partners. Dwight, we've always said, if we take care of our people will take care of our clients, and then our success will follow. And it's true, right? And especially in today's world, I feel like people need that care and compassion more than ever, you know, I feel like. So, but after Disney, you had several positions with Oklahoma City, Tulsa, the Living Museum, and then you went back to OKC Zoo as the CEO. And then before you came to St. Louis, you were the ED for the San Diego Zoo for 8 years, which is a wonderful zoo. I mean, I remember we had a son that was in LA for a while, in five years, and one time we were out there visiting him. I'm like, I want to go see the San Diego Zoo. Everybody talks about it, and it's wonderful. But I would say, I think St. Louis is equally as wonderful, you know?
And what do you mean equally? St. Louis is the best, right?
I think St. Louis is the best. And we were voted, right? We were voted the best. No, I thought San Diego was great, but our zoo here is so special, and it's free mostly, right? There are a few exhibits you have to pay for, but it's just free. So you came to the St. Louis Zoo as CEO 2 years ago. You know, how do you believe that your time in the San Diego Zoo has prepared you for what you want to do with the St. Louis Zoo, Dwight?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first thing that comes to mind is that there was a real culture in San Diego of working hard every day to be the best that we could be. And that's not always an easy statement to make when you're viewed as one of the best in your profession, just yes. like the St. Louis Zoo is viewed as one of the best. It's easy to kind of accept a status quo type get into a status quo type routine. And so San Diego, that is definitely not the culture there. And so they respect the past, but they're focused on moving forward as an organization. Mm-hmm. So that was something key for me, especially coming into this organization. Like I said, we do so many things really well, but you know, I wasn't hired for status quo either. I was hired to move the organization forward with yes. our team and our community. And so I'm trying to think of what else. They just have some wonderful people there. Lisa, as you can imagine, that's one of the things I love about my job the most, is I learn from people around me every day, whether they're working with the invertebrates or with elephants, or they're in communications with PR and marketing. I could go down the list of people. We like to say that the zoo is like a small city. You know, we have plumbers. We have, like right now, in fact, I was out in the zoo walking a little bit this afternoon, And the grounds, the flowers, the horticulture, it's just beautiful right now. Mm-hmm. And it was a little bit cool today, and there was a great energy in the zoo. A lot of people were here, of course. And so there's a lot of legacy to appreciate, but we have a strong vision for moving this organization forward.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't wait to get into that. So, you know, I know you've got a lot of priorities, so I want you to talk about, Wildcare Park, cause I'm very excited about that. But, you know, can we talk a little bit about conservation? Let's talk about conservation a little bit. And what do you believe the St. Louis Zoo's role is in that?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I think for me, you know, starting at kind of an entry-level position in a zoo as an animal care team member working with animals, I believe that animals really deserve great care, and that at the St. Louis Zoo, they need to be able to thrive. And that also connects to what we do with species around the world. And I'm glad you asked, because a lot of people don't know that we are so involved with saving species, not only around the world, but also here in our own backyard. There are some endangered species in Missouri, and we work to help them. There's a salamander species called a hellbender. There's a beetle, a burying beetle, that's in trouble as well. So we do that right here in our own backyard. And then we work with partners around the world. One of our curators helped establish a Grevy's zebra project in Kenya. That's been over 20 years ago now. So we work to save species around the world. We have an initiative with Asian elephants. I could go down the list, but we have an entire center, if you will, focused on our conservation efforts. And something that I want to do is, how do we bring that work more into the guest experience? So when the guest and our community members come to the St. Louis Zoo, that not only do they have a great experience, but they also learn more about the work that we're trying to do that supports our, you know, kind of our vision as we evolve as
an organization. I think that's part of education, right? And I know that you've probably got all kinds of ideas around that, and I want to talk about it. Well, tell our listeners, because we have people from all over the world, Dwight, that listen. I want them to hear about the Wildcare Park expansion in North St. Louis. I'm so excited. That's supposed to open, what, 2026?
2027.
Yeah, 2027.
Yeah, okay. Spring of 27, yes.
Okay, so tell us about that. That is so exciting.
Yeah, it's a wonderful project. So it's a 425-acre facility. It's large. It's beautiful. And we have some animals there right now, actually. And we've had a birth there of a critically endangered Grevy zebra. And so we're very excited about that. But the plan is to open this. It's like a safari park. We will, in large vehicles, we will drive guests through savannas where there will be giraffes and zebras and rhinos and ostrich, and you can go on down the list. And so just to put the size in perspective, the entire St. Louis Zoo is almost 100 acres. There's one drive-through experience at the park where you will have the giraffes and the zebras and other antelope species. That experience alone is the same size as the St. Louis Zoo. So, Lisa, I know you've been to the zoo, and some of the listeners have been to the zoo, of course. And so just one experience is the entire size of the St. Louis Zoo. So you'll be in a vehicle driving through. We have a giraffe feeding opportunity. And this might surprise some of your listeners, but we also have a large event center that we're building that can hold up to 300 guests. And so for weddings or for corporate events, you'll be able to have an event at Wildcare Park looking out over that large savanna described with giraffes and the zebras coming up. Well, some are up close, some might be at a distance, which actually really adds to the... You will really feel like you're on safari.
That's so cool. Yeah. Well, count technology partners in. Dwight. Yeah. We have done multiple company events at the zoo, but man, this sounds awesome. I'm going to get our event people and our HR people on this like immediately, because that would be so fun to do one of our big events there.
Yeah, I don't know how much work you're going to get done if it's a working meeting, though, with the animals outside, you know, a whole wall of giant windows. But anyway, that's up to you to manage.
Yeah, well, we have a celebration every year, you know, that's a party, you know. And so, like, our 30th is coming up, September the 20th, our 30th birthday party for the company. Yeah. And so we always choose a really cool venue. So now I'm like, okay, we're there. We want to sign up.
That's great.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Well, I tell you what, I've got so much more that we need to talk about, but we do need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Dwight Scott on the Something Extra podcast.
In business, the tendency is to seek out partners who are bigger, faster, stronger. When it comes to IT, you should be looking for smarter, faster, better. That's just what you'll find with the talented technologists at Technology Partners. Our experts develop custom solutions to tackle your most complex challenges, all to simplify your processes in the smartest, most efficient way possible. The time to be swift and nimble starts now. Go to technologypartners.net/solutions and see what's possible.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with the CEO of the St. Louis Zoo, Dwight Scott. We have been having so much fun. He is a unique guest. He's the first CEO of a zoo I've ever had on the show, and I knew it would be fun, and I'm right. It's really a lot of fun, but we've got a lot more to talk about here. Let me talk to you about this, because I know you said, really, when you were brought in, St. Louis Zoo's already great. It is great. It's the greatest, right? But we can make it better, right? So I want to know, how do you personally approach innovation, and how are you thinking about that for the zoo, Dwight?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So the first thing for me is to really appreciate the legacy and what got us here. That is really critical, because especially coming in as a new CEO, I didn't want to come in, you know, hey, I have all the answers, just what we need to be working on. And so for me, as you can probably already tell, it's a story of us. Mm-hmm. And so really appreciating the legacy, and then setting the bar for how we want to move forward. And in fact, our theme for the year is innovation. And so what we're doing is really recognizing that we've done awesome work, but wildlife deserves even more, and the St. Louis community and region deserves even more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, one of the things that our team has done to innovate is we had an experience called Animals Aglow earlier this spring. And it was a seasonal attraction, if you will, and it's a kind of an Asian themed lanterns that glow at night. They look beautiful during the day, by the way, as well. All the guests were taking selfies of them during the day, but then at night they just come to life and they glow. And so our team studied this very carefully, because around the holidays, there's like 30 some events in St. Louis that are kind of light themed events.
Mm-hmm.
And it's light too late during the summer, but during the spring, it gets dark enough earlier. So the team said, let's do some really new, fun, innovative things in the spring. And I got to tell you, Lisa, it was received so very well. I mean, we had everyone in the community was talking about it. When we got down to the last weekend, I think it was the first weekend in May was the last weekend, we had people calling and saying, hey, I can't get tickets now. What happened? We didn't know it was the last weekend. Mm-hmm. And so we did help a few guests get tickets.
Right.
But we are actually going to do it again next year. So that's just one example. But how I approach innovation is to work with a team, to support the team, to encourage people. But if I'm the one innovating as the CEO and no one else in the organization is really trying to think outside of the box, mm-hmm. then we're just not going to reach our potential.
Mm-hmm.
And
need everybody.
Yeah, that's right. And so I want our team to be engaged and involved, and to know that they are important to our organization, they are important to me, and we have an opportunity to influence our community as a cultural leader in a really special way.
Yeah, that's so cool. Well, and the other thing is, Dwight, when your people do have a voice, and when they get to be part of that, there's nothing that gives them joy as something like that, right? And knowing, hey, you know, my ideas are being heard and then sometimes implemented. And I love that. Well, tell me about
Lisa, I got to tell you this real quick, though. As a part of that, one of the challenges is that you have to be able, you have to be comfortable making mistakes.
Mm.
And we have such incredible community support in St. Louis through taxes, through philanthropy, that we want to be great stewards and we don't want to let anyone down. And so sometimes as a culture, we're afraid to fail forward.
Right.
And so you can't say you want to be innovative and then not be afraid to make a mistake. And so already we've made some mistakes moving forward and that
right.
and people have to see that that's okay. And, you know, we're not talking about risking, obviously, anything with our animals or anything with our team members or our guests. But, you know, we need to continue to think outside of the box. So we're creating a fail forward culture to get everyone there, kind of over that hump, if you will.
That's beautiful. I mean, we've always done that at Technology Partners. We will experiment with things. Sometimes they go well, right? And then sometimes they fall flat. But if you're not experimenting, if you're not doing that, and you also need to create that space where people feel safe, right? It's okay. We tried it. It didn't work. It's fine. Just pick yourself up and keep moving. But I could not agree with you more. It's imperative that you have a culture like that. Well, tell me about your vision for education programs. What other kinds of things are you thinking about education-wise?
Yeah, we have a tremendous educational program right now. A lot of your listeners probably don't know. We have 500,000 participants in our educational programs every year. And so we are engaged in our community in a way that probably a lot of people don't even think about. So we are looking at not only increasing the volume, of course, with Wildcare Park, we'll have an anchor location in North County. And so we already work with a lot of those local schools, just like we do with the zoo. Mm-hmm. And so that's one way to expand. But we also are having conversations about how do we expand our impact as well. So not just looking at how many children do we reach, but how can we reach them in the most meaningful way?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a quality and quantity conversation that's happening there. We do have an incredible team of, we probably have about almost 50 individuals in our education team right now. And they have as much passion as anyone in this entire organization for their work. And so they love working with children of varying ages. But it's a key component for us.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not only because we want to connect people with wildlife and with nature, because we also want to do this as a way to uplift our entire community.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's a connection we can make with science and math and nature and children and them having a more interest in some of these key topics, that's one way in which we feel like we could use animals and nature to, you know, to kind of to push people forward, if you will,
inspire.
Yeah. I don't think you really push people too much anymore, but inspire them. And it's not just the children, it's their families as well.
Sure. Well, I didn't expect to talk about this. Maybe we'll talk about this in another offline thing. It's got to be a technology component to it though, right?
Dwight? Absolutely. Everything that we're doing more and more, Lisa, is technology focused, whether it's support for our team with our internal team, whether it's guest interfaces,
yes,
whether and I mean guest interface, I guess I'm thinking of points of sales with merchandise and food and all those types of things, but also our guest storytelling. We have a wonderful experience at Wildcare Park. That's going to involve technology. And we have something at the zoo. We haven't really talked about that yet, but we're going to create a whole new area for children and families at the St. Louis Zoo called Destination Discovery. And that has a technology component to it as well. So how can we bring technology mm-hmm. into our space that still supports the vision and the work, but is fun and connects with the next generation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So important. Well, let's talk leadership just for a minute, because you managed animals. Then you went to managing the whole zoo. Very different. I mean, what were the competencies, Dwight, in your mind that you had to, you know, had to gain? And then how did you learn those competencies to step into that where you're managing the whole zoo and not just a group of animals? It's a big leap.
Well, that's great. Yeah. It's, I guess the way you do everything else, just one step at a time. I had to understand financials.
Yes.
Whether it's your operational budget or your major capital projects. I not only deal with a lot of our team members now, but a lot of our community leaders, with a lot of philanthropists as well, as we're kicking off some of these really large projects. But it just all goes, for me, it just all goes back to caring about people and just being a lifelong learner. Like I said earlier, I love learning from people. I love working with the animal care team, with people in HR. There's just many, many talented people. And also, I've let go of me feeling like I need to be the smartest person in the room. So I just show up and try to be the organization's number one cheerleader and to support our team and to make sure that I'm doing my part to try to bring out the best in all of our team members, because they certainly do that in me. When I work with them, they inspire me. So any time I get the chance, I walk around the zoo. I do it because I get to talk to our team members. I get to see guests. I talk to guests, look at animals. But one of the things that fuels me the most is that time with the team. I ask how they're doing. I ask what they're working on. I tell them that what they do makes a difference.
That's gold.
Yeah,
it's gold, right? It really is. That's gold.
You know, I should go back. I say thank you. I just say thank you, and I mean it. And that sets so many things up for success if you really appreciate what people are doing around you.
Agreed. Absolutely. Gosh, that's so good. Well, let me ask you this, and then I've got just a few little fun things to ask you, and then we'll talk about something extra. You know, what advice would you give to someone who says, hey, I think I want to be a zoologist one day? You know, what would you say to them? Maybe a young person, animal conservation.
What was that you said that I did well when I early in my career? I put my hand up. I asked for help.
Yeah, you put your hand up.
I expressed my interest.
Yes.
And then also, there was a note of resiliency in your remarks, because I called the zoo. I don't even want to tell you how many times, to be honest with you. I just kept calling until someone finally gave me the chance. Yeah. So what I would say is, it is awesome, and it is worthwhile. And you learn that you're a part of something bigger, and that is fantastic. And it gives you, there's obviously challenges, but it gives you hope. It gives you energy. And so I love what I do. And I know many, many people in this organization feel that we are making a difference, and we want to even go to the next level. I would also say that it's competitive. There's a lot of people who want to work around some of these amazing animals. And, you know, just go back to those other two lessons, you know, resiliency and, you know, keep putting your hand up.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Well, let me ask you a couple of fun questions. Have you ever had any scary encounters over the years, like with the lions or anything?
I can't tell you those stories. Lisa, what do you mean? You know, well, it's not scary. It's sad, but it's when animals pass away. That's really, really difficult for all of us. You know, the individuals who work with the animals, they love them so much and care about them.
Yes.
And just like, you know, we might get to know our dog or cat at home.
Yes.
Or iguana, if you have an iguana, as you mentioned earlier. That's a challenge. You know, I was nothing really too scary. I was in a situation, I was in Africa with mountain gorillas, and, you know, sometimes, you know, you can't touch the mountain gorillas, but they can do whatever they want. I mean, basically they're really mountain gorillas. they're very gentle and calm animals. But I was sitting with a group of you know, colleagues, and we were sitting there with the gorillas, and the large silverback of the group, he's, I don't know, probably 500 pounds plus, just got up and turned around, and I was right behind him, and so I just kind of looked down, and he like crawled over me, if you will. He brushed me a little bit, like kicked me with his foot when he was going by, and it was he was just moving. He was just getting up to go, you know, to move mm-hmm. the troop. So they were going to go to a different area and eat, you know,
oh my goodness.
Something different. But I don't know if it was scary, but it was sure humbling, though.
It
is for sure.
I would imagine. Yeah. Okay, so I was going to ask you any interesting facts about any animals. So zebras, are they white with black stripes?
I don't even know.
Aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
they're white with black stripes.
People ask me, you know, the question I get the most is, well, what is a group of this animal called? And I'm terrible at those kind of things. Like, I get that all the time. I don't know.
It's like an army, you know. I think toads an army. I don't know either, but our grandson knows, and we'll do trivia stuff all the time. And he knows, he like blows our mind with the stuff that he knows. But
I guess one thing, this is, I'll tell you quick conservation. Wow. Is that this organization has worked so hard to reproduce that endangered salamander that we spoke about before, the hellbender. Mm-hmm. And this past summer, we released our 10,000th hellbender in the streams of southern Missouri.
Oh, that is so cool.
Which is incredible. And then connected to that, and I know we're going to get short on time, but connected to that, the one of the eggs that was collected from one of those rivers, almost 10 years ago, that individual hatched at the zoo. He was released back into one of those streams. And during a data collection process, they found him as an adult protecting eggs. And so they do have a tag. And so the team identified him. And so he's come full circle from the streams to the St. Louis Zoo to grow so that mm-hmm. predators can't pick him off as easily, mm-hmm. a jump start, if you will.
Yes.
And then he was put back into his home, and now he has bred successfully. So full circle, there's your conservation story, Lisa.
That is a cool story. I love that. Well, I've got a lot more questions, but we're out of time. So I want to ask you something extra. What do you believe, Dwight, is a something extra that every leader needs?
A wonderful team.
Mm.
Yeah, you probably can already tell just from how, you know, some of the high points we've hit on. I learned as CEO that I am not measured by the success I have. I'm measured by the success of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And when the organization is doing well, then that means I've done my job.
Yeah.
And so I really support our team. You know, you heard my stories of walking around, talking with team members.
Yes.
Thank you. I guess that's to be honest, one of the most powerful yet simple ways to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then engaging your team. You know, we talked a little bit about mm-hmm. engagement, but we're looking at, really giving them a voice and a genuine voice. It doesn't mean we always have to agree,
mm-hmm.
but they have a genuine voice in this organization. And so we are teed up to do something pretty special with Wildcare Park, with some of the projects we have at the zoo. And I'm really excited about where we're headed. And I know that we're going to get there because of our wonderful team.
Yeah, that is beautiful. Well, for any listener who has not been to the St. Louis Zoo, I don't care where you are, you know, come to the St. Louis Zoo. It is really, really a special place. And I'm excited to see what the next few years is going to bring, Dwight, with you at the helm there. So thank you so much for being on the show today. This was a ton of fun. And I really appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you. I'll see you soon, I'm sure.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.